Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today I am joined by Rich Ronat and Laura Vale. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for having us.
I know I missed delayed there. You're going to take a sip of your drink there, but anyways, you guys have a production company, and Rich, you recently made your directorial debut. Was there a lot of nerves going into it, and how did you manage to calm those nerves as your directorial debut happened?
It was a mixture of heroin and cocaine.
Yeah, there we go. That's
No,
what I
no.
thought.
No, honestly, I was so overly well prepared that I actually had so much to focus on. I didn't really, we rehearsed for a month before shooting. I went through like six or seven drafts of shot lists and different kind of top down storyboards, and I was so like, because I think of some of the mistakes I'd seen on other movies was just lack of preparation. And because it's kind of like going into battle. You've got a really good plan, and then things happen and you got to kind of adjust, which I kind of was open to, but once I was so well prepared, it kind of just helped me have a lot of ammo. So to be honest with you, I really was pretty, it was really just kind of flow. It was
Yeah.
it felt right,
I was surprised that you hardly had any nerves when you started shooting. So,
And you guys recently premiered the film in LA, what was it, 5 days ago at a film festival?
yes, Friday the 21st, we
Friday the
premiered
21st.
at Dances with Films Festival in Los Angeles, and we showed at the Chinese Theater.
They brought up the Chinese Theater.
The man's.
Like the
Man's
main
Chinese
theater, I
Theater.
guess, outside.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So it was really exciting.
Yeah, it was a great, really great turnout. We had like over 200 people showed up. It was totally sold out. There were people standing in like in the aisles, and
Now,
it was wild. It was cool.
Laura, you were in the film as well, and you had to really prepare for the character.
Yes, I did. And it was she wasn't the happiest of characters. She's rather traumatized and haunted by the past, and doesn't have good family relationships. So what I didn't realize is that because we shot over
Things.
several months on weekends, I had to
Oh,
hold on to the
hang on just a second. I got someone else that came on real quick.
Sure.
I don't know.
I think
Tyler
that's Tyler.
Mickelson?
I think that's
Yes.
Tyler. That's our publicist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries.
So, because I had to prepare over several months, I realized, wow, I'm going to have to hold on to this character for a long time. So, when do I really have to make sure that I am just that character on the weekends in that mindset and then go back to my normal life and not have it hang on to me?
She had her moments too. Like after she went running one morning, she came back and she goes, "I think the whole house is bugged."
I get a little paranoid.
I'm like,
Yeah, it was
lay
like,
off on the true crime, babe.
yeah, I was listening to a lot of true crime to get myself, to listen to all the experiences about people who have experienced murder in their family and things like that. Doing character research, but it got a little far. I Rich had to reel me back a few times.
I was going to say, for those that don't know what we're talking about, the film is about a guy who recently was a prisoner who came out, and then he or there's another murder of a little girl that happens, and the whole society, like normal, would point their finger at him. And so, how did all this come to be about? You got your idea from something else, right?
Yeah, it started originally. I'd been following the Innocence Project organization for a while, and I was just always was really fascinated by the idea of somebody who's been in prison for 27 years and comes out, and like how do they actually live? How do they see things, and how do they try to adjust to normal society? It's like, so that was the start of it. And then I love thrillers, I love a good mystery and suspense. So then it kind of turned into I turned that idea into that film. Into that.
My dad, speaking of that, my dad was a jail chaplain and had
Oh,
one guy,
wow.
had one guy get out of prison. And first thing he did was look up my dad, and he knew exactly right where we were. We were up at the ball fields up at a church. So
Whoa.
I guess he somehow found us, but all he wanted was money. So just thought I might throw that story in there. But anyway.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, that must have been. Yeah, that could be scary. I'm surprised that doesn't happen a lot more often, like for
I know, that's what I'm
judges.
saying. I mean, yeah. I mean, you see it in television where the first thing that the prisoner does is go look for someone that they know or go to a guard or whatever. I mean,
Yeah.
like you said,
Totally.
surprise. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyways,
Yeah.
so going off the movie for just a little bit, Rich, you're a very physical human being. You've done kickboxing since you were 12 years old.
I have. I actually started in judo when I was like six, and then got into kick. My dad was a boxer, so I kind of got into kickboxing around 12, and then did a bunch of training. It's funny. I'm having like flashes of like when I first started, and I remember my first sparring session. I was sparring. I think I was like 13, and I punched this adult. To me, it was an adult. He was probably like 20. I punched him in the face, and he got mad. And I was like, "Oh no!" Just had this weird flash of that back in the day. But I've been doing it on and off, but kind of my whole life, you know.
You say that's the greatest form that you have of your mental health, just releasing all that tension, I'm sure, outside or inside your body, rather.
It's very. It's a great workout because you're moving everything so quickly. It's kind of like just a full body sprint, you know, all the time. And then you get
Yeah.
tired within a couple of minutes, really. Like you can if you're kind of going at it. And then mentally, I think it's also great for. It's also very, I think, humbling. You know, like jiu-jitsu is like the most humbling sport ever, right? You just get wrapped up like a pretzel. You know,
Yeah.
you're just kind of like,
It's a little bit like yoga in a way, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, well, for the flexibility,
For
sure. But
flexibility.
like the, no, definitely. But like, as far as like, if you think you're very ego driven or tough, and you just go take a jiu-jitsu class, and it's the most humbling. It's a very humbling experience because you'll get wrapped up by a guy who's like 5'2", 80
Yeah.
pounds, like seriously, and you're just kind of like, how did this happen? Because you're tapping out, you know.
Now, do you do it every single day, or how many days a week do you do it?
I'm doing a lot less these days just because we're so busy with the company and with a lot of writing. And so I probably do it a couple times a week, maybe, you know, it depends. I lift weights and run as well.
Oh,
But
gotcha. Okay.
so I'm definitely less these days just because of just work, you know.
And so, Laura, going to you, you've gotten to work with the legendary Clint Eastwood, being in some
Yes.
films.
Yes, I came here to Hollywood, and they hired me actually as a body double, and it turned out to be the Clint Eastwood film, and that's how I was the only person on set, and so we got to talk, and that's how we got to know each other. And he brought me back for a part in that film, and then another film, and he and his crew had been together for many years, so they just worked like clockwork. It was very smooth. Everybody there's really a very relaxed set or feel on set, and he was very respectful to me, and so was the rest of his crew. And I was just some new girl who had arrived to Hollywood, and was an extra, but they were like, "Hey, come join us for lunch, and be part of you're part of this." And I was like, "Oh," and it really set the bar, I think, for how to handle a set, how a leader handles a set, and the way each person was kind of appreciated for what they do, and they were let he would let people just go to do what they do best. Everybody had their role, so. Yeah,
That's one
so
thing
it really set the bar, set a really great example for me.
I've learned from the people who've worked with Clint Eastwood. He's not demanding. He's just a very quiet guy and just lets everyone do their own thing that like you said, that they're best at. And
Yeah, to the point of I was looking for direction, and I said, "Do I go? Because I was waiting for action, and he does not say action. He's like,
No,
"You
he
can
doesn't know.
whenever you want." And then he finally was like, "Azione!" Like, because he was behind me, he kind of whispered it to me. So, okay.
That'll make you nervous
Yeah,
behind you.
my
Absolutely.
first film. Yeah, first big film. I'm like, "Where do I start?"
That's cool.
So a new trick to incorporate Rich in your films, I'm sure, right there.
Right? Well, he's got it down because you got to hire the right people,
Well, that's
right?
true. No, that's
Yeah,
true.
to like know that each person's role, they're doing what they want to do, and they don't want your job or you don't want their job, and it's like,
Yeah.
no, everybody.
Now you guys were talking about the future of indie films, and I think that's the future of Hollywood because we're seeing a lot more indie stuff, and it's and with this digital age, do you think that the filmmakers of the 50s through the 70s or 80s would have loved to have had the digital age back then as well, or do you think it might have been more of a nuisance rather than a help?
Interesting question.
I'd say, I mean, I would say you probably have the similar result that happens today because they was used technology to tell to kind of to stories. But I think it would also take away from all the great stories that they had to come up with without CGI, right? Without using all the technology and really just focusing on character and story, you know? I think
That's
that.
what I was thinking about as I was you guys were talking about the CGI and in other interviews, and I was thinking, what would have been like in the 30s if they had the digital age like we have today?
Right. Well, it's so it is a lot of ways so much easier, right? Because like I can if I have to do like a shotgun, if I gotta shoot somebody with a shotgun and like blow a head off, right? Let's say
There you go.
you can you if I if I know I can't do it in VFX, I'm shooting that completely different. You know what I mean? To like it's kind of different angle, make it look like it's a whole different kind of thought process behind it, you know.
And also, I think it necessitates the audience using their imagination when you don't have the visuals served up on a platter for them. So, much like a video game is, just given to a child rather than, oh, here's a block of wood with some wheels, make it up,
make up a different fantasy land.
Yes.
Good point.
But you guys, yeah, you were talking about how for young filmmakers, you talked about go study the characters of the past and watch those films from like the 30s through the whatever 2000s, and just study what they did. What do you think is the one you talked about earlier on how it was lack of preparation? Do you think that's the one thing that you see young filmmakers or filmmakers doing these days that is the most common mistake that they're making?
I think that for some of them, maybe that, but it's also just, I think you just need the experience, right? Like just to, you got to do it and you got to be willing to be bad. You know, you got to do it and just get out there and learn from each, because you learn so much from each time you do things, right? All continuously. So I think it's maybe just not thinking that you need to be like famous or amazing right off the bat, you know, and just kind of like, and also I think it's living a little bit because I was so dumb in my 20s and half of my 30s. I only started to get half dumb in like my mid late 30s, I'd say probably. I just feel like I wasn't ready. Like I wasn't ready to like actually tell a really story that's well-rounded or has a really good beginning, middle, and end that has a good arc and a good relationship. So I think some of it's just living life too to tell a good story, you know.
And so I don't think I've mentioned the name of the movie that you guys have produced. Culprit, that's the name of it.
Culprit, yeah.
Culprit.
And you also talked about how you learned a lot. I mean, I know this was your directorial debut, but you had also talked about how you learned quite a bit in your first directorial debut as far as characters and I'm sure shooting goes.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. I mean, you know, it's funny because when I had the script written, it was, I didn't think when I wrote the script, it was between a drama and a thriller. But then when I actually shot the movie and saw I had 2 hours and 35 minutes as a rough assembly on a 102 page script. So the whole minute a page of a script isn't necessarily true, by the way. I realized I was sort of in between a drama and a thriller. And then I had always seen it as a thriller. So then I ended up cutting it an hour out. You know, I cut out an hour of the movie and went down to an hour 33 in the final cut, you know. And, because I was like, those are great, really well acted scenes of like dramatic scenes that you know Laura did and then the cast did, but they just weren't couldn't they didn't further story like they didn't really they didn't they were a drama they weren't a thriller. So that was a really good lesson in I think in specificity of tone I would say, like of what even when you're in script phase, you know, like in the new script I have now, it's just like thriller 100% all in. Like there's a little bit of family dynamics and drama, but it's just like that's what it is, it's a thriller, you know, there's no question about it. So that was a great lesson, you know. And then also getting coverage I think too was a good lesson, because when I first started shoot the first 2 weekends of shooting, I would say I overshot to make sure I got enough, and then I kind of settled down a little bit and was like, oh yeah, I don't need to shoot that many angles. I can chill out and actually just do it here and just get what I really need, you know.
And I love how you have an actor in there by the name of Robert Louis Stevenson.
And he goes by Bobby. He shouldn't go by
Bobby.
Robert Louis.
Yeah, we should
I
have
mean,
to
that's what I'm
call
saying.
him.
My name is Michael Scott. I mean, you don't hear me going Mike Scott. Anyways, no,
That's
I
cool.
thought that was cool that you had that name of an actor
He
in
is a
there.
wonderful actor. Yeah, he auditioned, he sent a tape in. I didn't know him. He was like a friend of a friend, and he just sent a tape, and it was so good. I cast him right from the tape. And nobody else auditioned. I was like, he's it.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Oh, so it wasn't just the name that you hired him then.
Partly,
Yeah, maybe.
a little
Partly.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you guys for coming on to the program. It's Chiller is the name of the or Culprit, I mean, sorry, not Chiller, Culprit.
Yeah.
The name of the film. Is it going to come out commercially?
It will. Yeah, we have we're actually like looking at about quite a few, like a handful of offers that we're kind of looking at right now for
Okay.
distribution. So we're just kind of trying to figure out the best home for it right now. So we'll probably know in the next month, I would imagine,
Okay.
exactly.
Yeah, we'll let people know where to
Yeah,
see it.
we'll message you back and let you know, like, when we
Please
know.
do. Absolutely. Yeah, of
Yeah,
course.
when
Like
it's coming out.
the feedback has been, it just keeps people on the edges of their seats. Like the whole audience was like, I just was guessing the whole time, and it was very, engaging. So an audience can look forward to be excited by it.
So Rich did his job, in other words.
He absolutely
And
did.
Laura, she's wonderful. I mean, the
And Laura
actors,
too. And Laura
the
too, yeah.
acting is the acting that it's one of those movies for me, because like whenever I see a movie with one, just even if it's a smaller role and one bad actor, kills the whole movie for me. I
Oh,
hate it. Like,
yeah.
it just, and I was like adamant about that not happening. So like I was like, every single half second on the screen will be good as far as like performance wise, and we pulled it off.
We
They
got
were great.
we got some great
So
performances.
I'm really excited for people to see it.
Absolutely. So, Rich, Laura, thank you so much for coming on the program. And Tyler, hope you're doing well.
How's it going, Tyler?
Hi,
It's
Tyler.
funny. Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, the interview sounded great. I apologize for running late. I went to open Zoom and it decided to update right when I tried to open it.
Hey.
It's all good, buddy. It's all good.
That
Classic
happened
technology, but the
before, yeah.
interview sounded great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, very nice to meet you, Tyler. I'm not sure if we've talked before or not, but I just wanted to say hello and say very nice to meet you.
Good to meet you here. I know we've corresponded a little bit over email,
Oh, that's
but
true. Yeah, we have. Anyways, but thank you guys so much. You all have a good
yeah,
day.
thanks for so much for having us,
Yeah.
man. It was really fun.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
Thank you. Yeah.